You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good morning. It's time to get up with a three-point party in Dallas. Did Luka and the Mavericks find the cheat code to beating the Warriors in the playoffs? Plus, Miami is feeling the heat, a critical game five tonight, and we will tell you one thing from this series that will absolutely blow your mind. And Debo, a no-show for the 49ers, but check out where he was pictured, or you'll see that in a bit. Pictured with Dak. Is that a match made in heaven? We'll talk that over and a lot more as we say good morning to you on Get Up. I'm Ryan Smith in for Mike Greenberg. So glad you could join us. And look who's with us. JJ Redick, Chris Canty, both in the house. Got others here. Kimberly A. Martin, Vince Carter going to join us to talk football and basketball. There they are. But let's bring you right to the game of the night. Warriors, Mavericks, game four. And this one was a good one. Warriors looking for the sweep. Mavericks trying to avoid elimination. Under a minute to go in the first. Mavs up three. Luka pulling up from deep. Boom. Buries it. They lead by four after one. And then on the second, Doncic on the bench. Mavs up six. Spencer Dinwiddie doing work. Going to Davis Bertans. The pump fake and dunks it. The supporting cast, JG, I think really got going in this one as Jalen Brunson puts it in.
Jalen Brunson was good as always. Reggie Bullock had a big night. Maxi Kleber had some great moments. And, of course, Dorian Finney-Smith was good as well. But, look, it all comes down to Luka and him being in attack mode. Everything the Mavs do is set up by Luka Doncic.
They were up 15 at the break, and then this happened. A rain delay in basketball. Can you believe it? Luka and Steph watching the crew work on a leak. And look at Mark Cuban just stewing. What is going on with our stadium? Third quarter, Mavs up 20, though. He's loving this. Doncic backing down Clay, and there's the happy Mark Cuban. 7 minutes to go in the third, 22-point game. Steph dancing with Luka. Who wins this one? You know who. Luka making it rain all game. They needed umbrellas. Luka with 30 points, 14 rebounds, 9 assists. Mavericks hang on for the 10-point win, and here's Luka after the game.
I mean, I still believe we can win, you know. So, swept or not swept, at the end, if you lose, you lose. So, doesn't matter how many we win, but we have to go game by game. We're going to believe till the end.
There's reason to believe when Luka's on your team, he's amazing, right? He's had five straight 30-point games when facing elimination to begin his career. The only player with a longer streak is Elgin Baylor. He's averaging over 36 points in elimination games, the highest of any player in NBA history. The things he is doing in elimination games, just historic. JJ Redick joining us, Vince Carter back. JJ, what specifically did you see from the Mavericks that enabled them to breathe life into this series?
Well, a lot of this had to do with their three-point shooting. In the first two series, they've shot 46% and 48% on open threes. Going into game four, they had been shooting 33% on open threes. Last night, that was not the case. They shot the you-know-what out of the ball, 20 of 43 from three. And so much of what they do is breaking down the defense, getting into the paint, creating opportunities for their spot-up shooters, and they did that time and time again last night.
Yep, big difference with them getting into the paint, getting rebounds. And Vince, I wonder if the Mavs found the cheat code for beating the Warriors.
The cheat code is to continue to play hard and make shots. That's what it is, and defend. And I think that's what was the key, more so than anything. We know Luka's going to do what Luka does, but he was able to get off the ball, let guys get into rhythm and knock down shots. And that's important to him, for him to be able to close out games for the Mavericks. Because if they're not closing, I mean, if they're not knocking down shots while Luka is getting 30 and 40 points, they're going to struggle. That's just what it is. And we've seen that. And we've seen where they're three-headed monster with Luka, Dinwiddie, and Brunson, when those three guys score big numbers, they still didn't win because they're going to need a collective effort. And you saw that last night.
And then we talk about Luka all the time, JJ, and obviously he did work. But what was really interesting to see in this game is guys like Kleba, guys like Bertans really stepping up to the plate, the supporting cast really coming alive.
Yeah, the games that they've won in this playoff run, those guys have been big. There was that graphic up there is basically says it all. Mm-hmm. The Warriors shot three uncontested threes. The Mavs shot 25 uncontested threes. Like, that's what it comes down to. And that speaks a lot about the front line of that defense, being able to break that down, creating an opportunity for the help side to come over, and then kicking it out and getting into ball movement. The Mavs just did that over and over again last night. And they've done that at times this series. They just haven't been able to make open shots.
Right, and not in the way that you had so many people involved. Reggie Bullock also delivering after a really tough previous game. And Vince, the other part of this is Luka. I mean, what he does in these elimination games is nothing short of remarkable, especially when we consider his age. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. What he does, he has a lot of confidence, and he's been in these type of situations before, in the EuroLeague. And one thing about him, he's understanding now, I think he's starting to understand, is that, yeah, he can score in bunches and score whenever he wants, but he has to empower his other guys to be great early for him to close out games because, yeah, he can't do it by himself. We saw when he had 42, 46 points or whatever, and they still were losing by 20. So, you know, JJ said it. He needs those other guys to make shots. Yes, they got a little home cooking, feeling good at home. How can they bottle that up to take it on the road to bring it back to Dallas for game six is the question.
You know, another thing that struck me about this game, JJ, is it almost seemed, and Steph even talked about this, after the game he said, you know, these Mavericks, they had nothing to lose. I don't know if I saw that kind of fire with the Warriors.
You definitely didn't. This game actually reminded me a lot of the Game 5 in Memphis in the previous series where the Warriors, I think they got down by 50-some points. It wasn't quite as egregious last night, but the sense of urgency wasn't there for the Warriors. They need to go back home and get back to playing Warriors basketball. What is that? That's moving the basketball. That's creating open shots through your cutting, through screening. And then, of course, defensively, they just weren't very good last night. The one thing they did well last night, which I think they'll mix in a lot in Game 5, is that zone. The Mavs really struggled against the zone. And granted, some of that was in the fourth quarter when Luka was off the floor for a while. But they need to mix in that zone a little bit because the Mavs have struggled throughout the playoffs against zone.
Yeah, Vince, that seems like that struck you too, what the Warriors need to do to win Game 5. The zone is key for you as well?
The zone is definitely key for me. But let's JJ and Ryan, let's throw this in the back of their throw this out there. In the back of their minds, 3-1 lead. They've been in this position before where they've seen this lead disappear and they've lost the series in a final. So that is in the back of their mind. So game five is extremely important for them. And they have to have the hit first mentality. We've seen a lot of blowouts. We've seen home teams hit first and build a big lead to try to knock out the opponent or the road team. So that's what I look for the Golden State Warrior, a veteran team, to do early. Look for an aggressive Steph, look for aggressive Klay, as well as Draymond Green really putting his mark on the game as well.
Okay, no one has ever won an NBA playoff series down 3-0, but these Mavericks, never count them out. All right, guys, thank you so much. Well, last night's game between the Mavericks and Warriors, along with the games around the country, were being played with heavy hearts following the school shooting at an elementary school in Uvalde, Texas. 19 children and two teachers were killed when a teenage gunman opened fire days before summer break was set to start. A moment of silence was held last night before tip-off between the Mavericks and Warriors. And before the players took the court, Warriors coach Steve Kerr held his pregame news conference and did not want to talk about basketball.
In the last 10 days, we've had elderly black people killed in a supermarket in Buffalo. We've had Asian churchgoers killed in Southern California. And now we have children murdered at school. When are we going to do something? I'm tired. I'm so tired of getting up here and offering condolences to the devastated families that are out there. I'm tired of the moments of silence. Enough. We can't get numb to this. We can't sit here and just read about it and go, well, let's have a moment of silence. Yeah, go Dubs, you know. Come on, Mavs, let's go. That's what we're going to do. We're going to go play a basketball game. You realize that 90% of Americans, regardless of political party, want background check, universal background check. 90% of us, we are being held hostage by 50 senators in Washington who refuse to even put it to a vote, despite what we, the American people, want. They won't vote on it because they want to hold on to their own power. It's pathetic. I've had enough.
Kerr has long been outspoken against gun violence. His father was shot dead in a terrorist attack in Beirut in 1984, and he has spent much of his professional life calling for gun law reform. Many athletes took to social media last night to express their outrage. Patrick Mahomes, who is from Texas, tweeted, "Has to stop, man. Prayers to all the families in Texas." And LeBron James tweeting, "My thoughts and prayers go out to the families of loved ones lost and injured at Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, Texas." Like, when is enough enough, man? These are kids, and we are putting them in harm's way at school. Like, seriously, at school. Where's it supposed to be safe? We'll be right back.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Back with you on Get Up and back with some baseball, because this was the thriller of the night. Mets, Giants, Jock Peterson and the Giants getting ready. Bottom third, game tied at 1, runner on first, and Peterson goes yard. 2-run homer to right field, 8th of the season. Giants take a 3-1 lead. 5th inning, they're up 6-2, runner on first. Guess who's at the plate again? Peterson. And guess what he does again? Another 2-run homer. His second of the game, 19th career multi-homer game, and the Giants out to a big 8-2 lead. In the eighth, top of the eighth, Giants only up 1, Mets roaring back. Francisco Lindor had a 2-run homer in the seventh, and he delivers right here, down the third baseline. And Peterson, watch him, misplays the ball. Goes off the wall, goes right behind him, Lindor. About to round third, saying, "Can I get home?" No. Let's go back. Let's take the triple. Mets take their first lead of the game. Score 10-8. Lindor fired up. Bottom of the eighth. Mets up 11-8 now. Peterson on. Delivers. Big three-run homer. Ties up the game. First Giants player with 3 homers in a game since Barry Bonds in 1994. Tied at 11. Now, after Peterson came up clutch with an RBI single, Brandon Crawford. Runner on first and second, and talk about delivering. Base hit to left. Darren Ruff gets it. Beats the throw home. Peterson, 3 homers, 8 RBIs. The Giants win a thriller, 13-12. Prior to last night, the Mets were 180-0 all time when scoring at least 12 runs in a game. Let's make that 180-1 now. The teams combined for 37 hits for the game, and over the final 3 innings, they combined for 15 runs, punctuating the highest scoring game day of the baseball season so far. Now, let's talk some football, and we're talking Jimmy G. He's not at the 49ers OTAs as he recovers from shoulder surgery.
which he had at the beginning of March, and that's put a little bit of a pause on trade talks. But head coach Kyle Shanahan does not expect Jimmy G to be on the roster this season. It said something interesting. Take a listen.
Nothing's changed since his surgery. You know, we were where we were at before that, and then he got the surgery, so everything went on hold. I expect him at some time, most likely to be traded, but who knows? That's not a guarantee, and it's been exactly on hold when that happened, and when he's healthy, we'll see what happens.
There you have it. All right. You know, I appreciate the candor. Brugger McFarland now joining us, Kimberly Martin back with us, and Chris Canty. Kmart, look, again, I like transparency, but I have to wonder, why would Shanahan say this? In some ways, doesn't it impact the 49ers' trade leverage? Because you're out there saying, yeah, we expect to be traded. If I'm another team, I'm saying, okay, here's a sixth-round pick.
Oh, well, we know the 49ers aren't going to take a sixth-round pick for Jimmy. I think here, I love Kyle Shanahan because, and it shocked me, as you and I were discussing this morning on our morning call, it shocked me that he was so candid because we're so... which is not just saying the obvious. He didn't say anything that we don't know. We already knew that they were going to trade Jimmy G. It was just a matter of when, right? So I don't think it affects his trade value. I think if anything, it puts the conversation to rest, which a lot of head coaches could actually take a page from Kyle Shanahan. He answered the question directly, and now we know that Jimmy G is still on the trade block, and at some point, he will get moved. It's just a matter of when, not if.
Were you surprised, Chris, that he said this?
Not really, because I think this is the worst kept secret in the National Football League. And anytime you trade three first round draft picks in order to get a guy to play quarterback, he's going to start for your team sooner rather than later. So I'm not surprised. But the fact is, if they move him sooner as opposed to later, it gives the 49ers the opportunity to take care of more pressing business, which is getting Nick Bosa on a contract extension, trying to figure out the Deebo Samuel situation as well. Jimmy Garoppolo being moved is just another hurdle, another obstacle until you can take care of the main business that the 49ers have to focus on this offseason.
Yeah, and that main business was a lot of them. Trey Lance, Deebo Samuel, to name a few. Booger, I wonder if this is more about a message to Trey Lance as it is acknowledging what's happening with Jimmy G.
Well, I think Trey Lance has already gotten a message. I think he got a rude awakening last year when he came in and he didn't play very well. So this is a huge offseason for him. I would agree with Kate Martin and Chris, but here's what I'll say. This may wind up being a blessing in disguise. Let's just play the what-if game. What if this lingers into training camp and now we get into August and Jimmy G is still on the 49ers and Trey Lance hasn't gotten off to a great start? If you're the 49ers, you're not just going to throw away this season. And Jimmy G, if he's still on your roster at this point, maybe you change your mind about trading him. So, yeah, I agree. Everyone expects Jimmy G to be traded. But if this lingers in the training camp and Trey Lance doesn't get off to a good start and they don't have a really good feeling about him being their starting quarterback, what's to say they can't just say, hey, you know what? Let's keep Jimmy G. He gives us the best opportunity to win, and we can push off Trey Lance for another year. Highly unlikely, but that is a position that if I'm the 49ers, I'm really thinking about right now, especially if this lingers in the training camp.
Canty's not buying it. Canty, what do you think?
Nah, Boog, you know the psyche of a young quarterback is fragile in this league, and there's no way that you can pull Trey Lance if you're talking about Jimmy G being, you know, potentially stepping in and trying to, you know, be a stopgap until the young signal caller figures it out, because that might be a situation that that Trey Lance doesn't recover from. So with Jimmy G on his final year, it just makes sense that the 49ers would trade him and get something of value. We know that at training camp or early on in the season, there always are key injuries to starting quarterbacks. Teams get desperate. And so that could be what Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch are waiting on in order to extract maximum value from a team that's willing to do the dance for Jimmy G.
Mm-hmm. Let me just push back on that.
I'm really not concerned. I'm really not concerned about a young quarterback's feelings. If I'm an organization, I'm concerned about winning and winning big. The 49ers are in win now mode. Like, they are not trying to rebuild and come back in a couple years. This team is proven that how they play, the physical style, their defense, they're trying to win. So I could really care less about Trey Lance's feelings. I'm not concerned about him. I'm trying to win football games. And Canty, the bottom line, if he's not ready to play, if he can't be more accurate with the football, if he can't throw the football with touch, if he can't prove that he can run my team, I could care less how he feels. I'm about winning games. And that's why I think the 49ers, even though they want to trade Jimmy G, They need to slow play this, and it may be a blessing in disguise if he's still on that team in training camp and Trey Lance hasn't gotten off to a good start.
Boog, that's a perfect world argument, and we know that's not how it goes down in the National Football League. That should be how it is, but it's not a true meritocracy when you're talking about a team that's invested three number one picks in a quarterback. They are going to give Trey Lance all the support, all the runway in terms of being able to get him ready to play at a high level. And guess what? If you miss on Trey Lance, not saying it's going to cost Kyle Shanahan his job, but it's damn sure going to cost somebody their job, because you can't invest that kind of draft capital and not have that player live up to those types of expectations.
This is why
it just doesn't
such,
happen.
This is why it's such an interesting topic, because on the one hand, this isn't like the Jaguars or the Texans, no diss on them, but this is a Super Bowl quality team. If he struggles, a lot of questions coming up in San Francisco. Speaking of questions, a lot of questions going on with Deebo Samuel. How does Deebo in Dallas sound? Check out these pictures. Samuel hanging with Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott, as well as Cowboys wideout CeeDee Lamb. San Francisco, of course, beat Dallas in the playoffs, but it feels like love is blossoming between these guys. Look at all those heart eyes going on. Are they all happy? Kimberly, what are we to make of this? Is Deebo hanging out with the Cowboys something or nothing, or is love blossoming?
Listen, if I'm Dak, I would have hard eyes too, looking at Deebo. I think if you're the 49ers, you're looking at this is nothing, because you didn't expect him to be at voluntary OTAs. This isn't a surprise. But from the outside looking in, the optics just aren't good, because you know this guy has said he's unhappy, whether it be with his role or the contract. You know, he clearly wants to get paid. And whatever tensions exist in San Francisco, they haven't yet been put to rest. So until that happens, the speculation about Deebo's future is going to exist. And the Dallas Cowboys, we know, they always could use some weapons.
Okay, now we know San Fran's probably saying, look, it's just pictures, whatever. They're at a game, who cares? You think there's something to it?
I think there's something to it.
We got to acknowledge that he was there for game three, Dubs, Mavs. So that's a part of that whole equation. But we also have to acknowledge that Deebo Samuel liked a tweet with him in a Cowboys uniform earlier this offseason.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can't say that it's outside of the realm of possibility that Deebo might try to force his way out of San Francisco and want to land in with the Dallas Cowboys. And if you look at where the Cowboys are at right now, that's a team that could absolutely use him. You're talking about a team that only had five squads with fewer broken tackles on run plays. And we know how Deebo Samuel's, you know, factors into the run game, but also in terms of being a yak monster yards after catch. So it seems like it would be a fit for a team that overnight became deficient in terms of weaponry. So Deebo Samuel, Dallas Cowboys, seems like it'd be a perfect fit. I can't imagine that Kyle Shanahan would be thrilled about trading him to Dallas, though.
No, I don't think he likes seeing those pictures either. Booger, I'll give you the final word.
We've reached that point in the offseason where we are breaking down pictures at a basketball game. Lord help us.
Here's the thing
I'll say.
Come on, Book.
They couldn't
come
even
on.
Afford Amari Cooper. So how are they going to afford Deebo Samuel? They had to trade away Amari Cooper because he was making too much money. So if we're going to look at this and realistically try to break it down and use some type of football analysis, let's understand, yeah, everyone would love Deebo Samuel, but he's not going to be able to fit under the salary cap. And maybe tomorrow I'm going to take a picture somewhere where we can break it down. Man, why was Boog at such and such's house? Let's break it down. Like, come on. Like, it's almost June. It's time for us to really enjoy the summer and get rejuvenated and come back for training camp.
All right, there you go. We're in the midst of silly season. We can't help ourselves, Booger, but I feel you, Ben. All right, well, coming up, Miami is feeling the heat from Jason Tatum and company. A critical game five tonight, and we'll tell you the one thing from this series that will absolutely blow your mind.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Back with you on Get Up and back with the game of the night. Warriors, Mavericks, Game 4, Western Conference Finals. Luka getting ready, trying to avoid the sweep, and he started out on fire. Pulling up from deep, good. Mavs up 4 after 1. Second quarter, Doncic attacking and finishing. Getting in the paint, Mavs lead by 15 at the break. And then in the third quarter, after a little rain delay, a little leak in the roof, Mavs up 20, Doncic backing down Clay, spinning and scoring. Mark Cuban happy with that. Different Mavericks team playing tonight, JJ.
Absolutely, and a lot of this had to do with Luka. Look, he's getting in the paint time and time again. He's exploiting matchups. The Mavs shot 9 for 14 on Luka passes last night.
Wow, just raining threes. That's why they need umbrellas. Mavs up 29, moving into the fourth. And then right here, he's driving and dunking. They cut the lead a little bit, but then they came back.
I mean, this defense is just god-awful. I mean, the only success they had last night on defense was when they went zone. But the Mavs were time and time again able to break down their defense and get into the paint and create opportunities.
Especially with impressive passing like that. Mavs win by 10. Here's Curry giving the Mavs respect after the game.
You tipped the hat, you know, your hat to them because they made a lot of shots. We had a couple breakdowns in our zone that gave them easy looks. They made us pay. And we knew to close them out, it's going to be tough. So you got to, you know, strap up in on defense. When we go home, game 5, and figure out, you know, how to slow them down, especially in, you know, that first quarter.
There you have it, Curry and the other 4 Warriors starters combined for 58 points, their fewest in a playoff game since game 3 of the 2016 NBA Finals. Good news for Golden State, heads back home for game 5, where it is a perfect 8-0 so far this season. So, as you look at this, the Warriors, oh, by the way, you'll love the stat. There have been just 4 lead changes in the series, tied for the fewest through 4 games of any playoff series in the last 25 years. The last lead change in the series came with 2:56 left in the quarter of the game. Okay, now, Heat Celtics, as we look at this, game 3 dominating as you go through. And Miami has just not been, they Heat won 109-103 there, led really big. Celtics came back and just stomped them 102-82, tied the series at 2-2. Miami didn't make a field goal until 3:22 left in the first quarter. But in game five, you look at it there, Celtics 2-point favorites tonight according to Caesars Sportsbook. So this should be a good one. But I got to tell you, this has been a series of extremes. And there's the graphic we wanted to show you. 4 total lead changes in the entire series. Tied for the fewest through 4 games of any playoff series in the last 25 years. The last lead change in this series came with 2:56 left in the first quarter of game 2. Let's think about that. Wow. Again, I want it to marinate.
That's crazy.
4 lead changes in the conference finals. You said it, Vince. That's crazy. How do you explain this?
I don't know how you explain it, honestly. I mean, you give credit to the home team or the team that is aggressive early. And you heard Steph Curry mention that as well, is that in the first quarter, they hit first. They were the more dominant, they were the more aggressive team first. And that's what we're seeing in this series, is the team that comes out hitting first and aggressive first is usually the team that blows the doors off the other team and develops or puts himself in a situation to win the game and develops a lead. So that's the only thing I can explain. JJ, maybe you have some stats and numbers for us, but it's just when you watch it, man, you're just like, wait, what is going on? Like, you're looking at great defensive teams. Like, you looked at the way the Miami Heat defended, where you're like, man, Boston can't score. And then you look at the next game, like, where's Miami's defense? And you just don't see that often, but it's just kudos to the coaches making adjustments to put these teams in position to succeed.
But see, I buy this in maybe the first round of the playoffs, something like that. the Eastern Conference Finals. This is the best of the best.
Yeah.
And it almost feels like, JJ, once one team jumps out to a big lead, the other team just falters. And I don't think we're used to seeing that at this late.
Well, in game three, Miami jumped out to that big lead in the first half, and Boston was able to come back and cut it to one there in the fourth quarter. I don't know how to explain this, Vince. I really don't. You know, when I think about this series, though, these teams in some ways, they're a little bit of a mirror image to each other because they're both elite half-court defenses. They both struggle at times to score in the half-court offensively. And I look at the game-to-game adjustments that they have made as this series gone on, and a lot of that is a credit to Udoka and Spoelstra. But the way that the Heat came out in Game 3, pass aheads from Kyle Lowry, ball movement side to side, using Bam in that short role. That was the urgency and physicality that Vince was talking about, like that mindset and that energy, all of that to start a game. Then you go to Game 4, and Boston comes out and starts the exact same way that Miami started in Game 3, and they punch him in the mouth very early in the game, and Miami's unable to recover. And so I think some of this is just the elite defenses and the game-to-game adjustments. Mm,
says a lot. And by the way, Coach Spo, I love that he said this. He said at one point after the Game 4 in press conference, what they did to us, we can do to them. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in Game 5. And by the way, speaking of extremes, it's been a series of extremes for Jason Tatum. Check this out, 29 points per game in their wins, 19 points per game, and 13 turnovers in their two losses. What specifically do you see from Jason Tatum in terms of bad Tatum and good Tatum in this series?
I've said this all series. I said it before the series. It comes down to decision-making. When he is making good decisions, that is shot selection. That is ball movement. That is knowing when to attack, knowing when not to attack. When he's driving into a loaded defense over and over, it ends up with bad shots and it ends up with turnovers. Jason Tatum, because the Celtics have such a great defense, he can afford to have an off shooting night if he's taking good shots. He can afford to do that. What he can't afford to do is stall the offense with isolations and turn the ball over. When he does that, the Boston Celtics are in trouble.
That's huge. Go ahead, Vince.
No, he's right. That's it. That's exactly what I would say for him as well. He's a superstar. He's capable of having bad nights but still having effect on the game. But you cannot turn the ball over because now you give or breathe life to the Miami Heat because they thrive off of getting stops, getting steals, getting into transition to get buckets. So for Jason Tatum, I love the aggressiveness, getting downhill, getting in the paint. It's just once you accomplish that feat, now what's next? Making the right play, whether it's taking the right shot, taking a shot in general, getting a shot up, or making the right pass. You saw a lot of those plays. They're, you know, the Miami Heat, they get their hands on the balls. They're in the passing lane. So you have to watch that film and understand guys that you're playing against, how they defend you, and that knowing that they like to reach, and that's how they're creating turnovers in.
Yeah, and then everybody's been talking in these playoffs about how this is his superstar moment. Jason Tatum, they need that consistency, though, in and out every single game. Jimmy Butler, by the way, also another series of extremes. 14 points in games 3 and 4 after scoring 70 in games 1 and 2. So, JJ, as you look at Jimmy Butler, what do you make of these extreme differences for him?
Well, some of it was that he had sat out game second half of game 3,
right,
obviously.
Right, right.
Then he took 2 days off. Like, he's nursing a knee injury. Mm-hmm. Took 2 days off, sat around, didn't do much on the court. And then he plays against the Boston Celtics defense. Mm-hmm. But I would say this. There's a difference in Jimmy Butler when he's – we talked about that aggressiveness that Vince mentioned earlier. When he's aggressive and using his physicality. He's at his best when he's using his body to get to the free throw line, to get to the basket. When he drives aggressively, that creates opportunities to play make for other people. He's got kind of a throwback game in a sense. He scores a lot at the rim, cuts, offensive rebounds, all that driving. He's not a guy who's going to line you up and necessarily shoot pull-ups all day long. That's not his game. So he's got to figure out a way to get to the rim over and over again.
Okay, Vince, what do you need to see from him in game 5?
JJ just broke it down for you. That's what we need to see. He's not a guy, you know, when you're injured, sometimes you say, I'm just going to settle for the jump shot because I can shoot it. Yeah, he's an okay three-point shooter, but that's not what he does. When Jimmy Butler is able to get to the paint, get into the paint, get to the free throw line, get to his jab step mid-range, all of those things, creating mismatch, that's when he's great. And, of course, defensively, getting in passing lanes, getting steals, scoring out of transition or 1-on-0 situation. So right now, you know, game 4, we just didn't see that. We just, you know, when you step on the court and you're injured, JJ, you obviously you know this. It's no excuse. You have to deliver, and clearly he was hobbled, and he's going to need the help from Bam Adebayo. He disappeared. No aggressiveness for him, and you know they need him to play well when Jimmy Butler's on the floor.
You bring up a great point, Vince. In Game 3, Bam took the most shots he's ever taken in any game in his career, and then he follows that up with a very passive game where he takes 5 shots. He's got to be better night to night. Like, if Miami wants to win this series and wants to win a championship, they need 20 and 10 Bam every single night. Like, there's no excuse. Wow. They can't create enough offense through Hero and Jimmy Butler. They need Bam to be that third scorer for them.
Consistency, the name of the game.
Hey, Jay,
here,
I just want to add one thing, Ryan.
Go ahead. Yeah, real quick.
He has to assist and create for other guys, too, because his ability to rebound, get out in transition, and make plays for everybody else opens things up as well.
Yeah, in other words, he's got to be the best version of Bam. We've seen it before. Can he do it in this series? If so, they have a great chance of winning. All right, so let's take a look at this.
You're watching the games now. Could you imagine there's no big on the floor? Or that big now is what we call a stretch five.
Right. Yeah, I guess it's positionless basketball, but there's nothing that says the five man or the center. So, yes, it irks me. It pisses me off. I don't really feel good when you turn the All-Star game on and there's no slot for a center.
Vince, look at you. Vince's Places. You've been all over these days. Vince's Places is airing on ESPN+. Tell me about this sit-down with Patrick Ewing and everything that you've been doing in all of this.
Man, I've been everywhere talking about the game of basketball itself. We're seeing great basketball in the playoffs, and I want to go back in history and just enlighten people on the game of basketball, how it was prior to what we're seeing today, and some of the historians highlighting them. So Patrick Ewing, Jerry West, I have Dirk in that episode there. So it's been some great stuff, and I hope everybody watches it, but learn a little something from it. Even the basketball aficionados like J.J. Redick, hope they learn something as well.
I don't know if you could teach a great one like J.J. Redick anything at this point, but you could definitely teach me. I'll be watching.
We'll see.
All right, we'll have Game 5 of the Eastern Conference Finals between the Celtics and Heat tonight, 8:30 Eastern on ESPN and the app, with the series tied at 2 games apiece. The Countdown crew going to get things started at 7:30 Eastern. Coming up, big questions remaining about Tua Tagovailoa's arm strength. Well, his new superstar receiver just gave his assessment, and we'll play it for you next.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Back with you on Get Up. Let's play a little game of can he or can't he.
Let's do it, Ryan. Let's go. Let's go.
Let's start out with this. Can Tom Brady win his 8th ring this year?
He can, Ryan. And listen, if you're Tom Brady, why would you come back in your age 45 season, 23rd year in the league, if you didn't think you could win a ring? Mm-hmm. Like, that would be the main question. But here's the thing that they're going to have to overcome. They got Todd Bowles. He's going to be a new head coach. And I know this is Todd Bowles' second time around, but there's always going to be some new learning. They got some shuffling along the offensive line, 2 new full-time starters, and then they retooled the defense. So, 4th toughest schedule also, those are things that Tom Brady's going to have to navigate, but he can get it done.
He can get it done. All right, you heard it here. Let's talk Eagles. Can Jalen Hurts and the Eagles win the NFC East this year?
He can, and I'm going to take it a step further, Ryan, and say he will. I'm buying into the Philadelphia Eagles and Jalen Hurts. I love what they did around him, trading for A.J. Brown, a guy that can be dominant in the play-action passing game, those intermediate to deep routes, and compliments Devontae Smith and Quez Watkins, Dallas Goedert, very well. But then defensively, they fortified that front, got Jordan Davis, added 2 new linebackers, Hassan Reddick and N'Kobe Dean, and they added James Bradbury, sneaky late offseason signing. Mm-hmm. That Eagles team is ready to roll.
You got me excited, but I will not allow myself to hope. I will not. I'm from Philly. We do not hope.
Can Tua Tagovailoa lead the Dolphins to the playoffs this year?
He can't. He can't. And listen, no matter how you feel about Tua, you have to respect what Chris Greer has done around him, trading for Tyreek Hill, adding Teron Armstead, adding Connor Williams on that offensive line, some of the upgrades that they've made, Raheem Mostert in the backfield as well. But look at the AFC. It's loaded. I'm not sure if folks have been keeping track or keeping score of what's going on in the AFC North or the AFC West. But all eight of those teams can make the playoffs. Not to mention you had two playoff teams in your division earlier. So I don't think they're winning the division. And so it'd have to be a wild card. I just see too many teams in the AFC that are better than Miami.
Okay, I think that new Dolphins wide receiver Tyreek Hill would differ with you because
They're paying him too, Ryan. He's getting $30 million a year.
I know
he's
they are.
He's going to disagree with
you. I know they are. But he's saying all the right things, at least if you're in Miami. He heard all the criticism about Tua, but he's got high praise for his quarterback after working out with him. Take a listen to this.
At first, I thought it was going to be something crazy, the ball going all over the place. But Tua actually has, you know, probably one of the prettiest balls I've ever caught in my life, so it's very catchable. I don't want to continue because the more I talk, the more it sounds weird. So Tua is a very accurate quarterback. That's all I'm gonna say.
Okay, what? That coming from a guy who caught, I don't know, 395 or so passes from Patrick Mahomes. So, Booger, I know that you're not the biggest Tua fan, but now that you've heard Tyreek Hill, are you sold?
No, I'm not sold, and I don't think the Miami Dolphins are sold. I think that they put a lot of weapons around Tua this year to give him every opportunity to succeed. They've gotten Teron Armstead at left tackle. You bring in Tyreek Hill. The draft has been good. So this is I think we've all said this. This is a make-or-break year for Tua. And if he can't get it done, they're going to use some of the draft capital next year either to go out and trade for a quarterback or to draft one. So Tua is accurate from 0 to 15 to 20 yards. The biggest issue, and we've all said it, is can Tua be accurate throwing the deep ball? Can he push the football down the field? We know he can dink and dunk. Hell, Chad Pennington could dink and dunk, but he couldn't be a franchise quarterback to take a team to a Super Bowl. So that's what they need to see from Tua. You're right. I'm just not a believer in 6-foot quarterbacks because to me, that's the anomaly. Just look at Drew Brees. Russell Wilson to a certain extent, but usually the small guy at that position doesn't work out.
All right, you know what? Booger is not sold by wide receiver platitudes. I got you, my friend. All right, so Kmart, what do you think?
Listen, Ryan, I'm just trying to take a moment and offset Booger's constant negativity. I know Bikini Boog is not going to be happy until he's on a beach, on a yacht somewhere, sipping some drink. Like, he just seems like he came in today just not feeling anybody. So I'm going to be positive about Tua. We saw this kid in college. Before the injury, this kid was talked about like he could be a number one overall pick. And suddenly we now look at him like, I don't know if he could even crack it in the NFL. Time will tell. This is a pivotal season for him, but the Miami Dolphins, like Booger said, have done everything in their power. Literally, they chose Tua over Brian Flores. Chris Greer chose Tua over Deshaun Watson. They put that to rest. They're going all in on Tua and giving him everything that he needs, and this is his opportunity to move it forward.
So do you think they make the playoffs? Does he rise to that occasion, Kmart?
Ryan, he can, but here's the thing. Mm-hmm. Because the AFC is so loaded, I don't think you would like to see Tua make the playoffs to officially silence all the critics, right? Because when you look at his stats, this kid has 3 touchdown passes deep. 30-plus yards or more we're talking about in the air. 3. Justin Herbert in his career has 22. Oof. So he can throw it deep. It's the frequency with which he does and his desire, willingness to test defenses deep. Now, they've upgraded the offensive line. He's gotten more time. So hopefully he will have a balance around him, a better defense, and this team can compete for a playoff spot. But the AFC is so loaded, right?
Can complete. You said the same thing. AFC loaded. You don't have them making it. So if they don't make it, it's Tua the quarterback next year.
I'm not going to say that it's a playoff mandate for Tua, mm-hmm. but I think the bar to clear for him has got to be being the second best quarterback in that division because you're also talking about
high bar.
Zach Wilson and Mac Jones being in that division. And it's hard not to view Tua's production through the lens of Justin Herbert. And Kamar, I'm surprised you didn't mention his name because that's the guy that Chris Greer passed on in order to take Tua with the fifth overall pick in 2000. So to me, it's about Tua proving definitively that he's the second best quarterback in the AFC East. You can win with a guy like that. It's hard to win when your quarterback is the worst in the division.
Oh, bet Greer would like to have that pick back. Or no, maybe he'll stick with Tua with all these weapons and it'll all work out. We'll see the grand experiment that goes on in Miami.
I tell you what, if Tua's not the guy as quarterback, then Chris Greer might not be the guy as general manager.
You got that right. Let's turn to hockey. This one was a great one. Stanley Cup playoffs, game four, Hurricanes, Rangers. Let's take it. Now, remember, Max Domi and Ryan Lindgren kind of got into it in game four, but halfway through the first, Domi getting smacked. Run over by Jacob Trouba. Trouba and Steve Lorenz dropping the gloves. Take a look at that hit. Oh. Falling on his head there, telling the ref, pleading, but Lorenz gets an extra penalty for instigating. So here, Frank Vatrano putting it in for the score. His third goal of the playoffs, Rangers up 1-0. Late in the second, Rangers on the rush, up 2-0. Ryan Lindgren shoots, doesn't quite get in, but Mika Zibanejad there to put it in for the goal. Watch this. Antti Raanta just lets it squeeze past him, and Zibanejad crashes the net. His fifth goal of the playoffs, Rangers up 3-0. And then as time's getting ready to expire, these guys keep getting into it. Ryan Reeves, Max Domi going at it, exchanging slashes, yapping at each other. Tension's high, but the Rangers higher because they get the win 4-1, evening up the series at 2. We're going to have game 5 of the Eastern and Western Conference semifinals right here on ESPN and the app. Our coverage of Rangers Hurricanes starts at 7 Eastern, followed by the Battle of Alberta Oilers and Flames. Coming up, Dallas isn't done yet. What Luka and the Mavs did, and did they find the formula to beat the Warriors in the playoffs? One of the secrets to building a successful sports franchise is boldly investing in people, strategy, and consistency. The same is true for businesses, right, Johnny?
Absolutely. Sherm's Cause the Effect campaign encourages business and HR leaders to provide the resources and tools necessary to advance careers, change cultures, inspire innovation, and consistently score victories. So join us in New Orleans, June 12th through the 15th for CHRM 22 and learn how to create a winning game plan for your company. One person can cause an effect. One person in HR can challenge outdated hiring practices, champion modern benefits, advocate for pay equity, and turn jobs into careers. HR empowers others to not only dream of change, but to create it. The actions of a few affect the lives of many. Join us in New Orleans for CHRM 22.